to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This July.
This is Jason Bourne.
I know what you did.
Matt Damon returns to cinemas as Jason Bourne.
Why would he come back now?
It started again. A new program. It's even worse than before.
Tell me. Bourne has to be put down. It ends tonight.
Jason Bourne in cinemas now.
Hello, everyone. Hello, football fans around the world. Welcome to the Squawker Talker. This week, we're doing something a little bit different. We're talking about a new fantasy football game that we have launched at Squawker called Match Boss. Match Boss is Squawker's first fantasy football game. Lots more to come. The aim is to pick who you think will be the best player from a selected list of nations taking part in Euro 2016. According to a scoring system we've devised, which takes into account virtually every on-ball action a player makes on the pitch. So tackles, headers, shots, passes, clean sheets, you know, everything is taken into account. The game's free to enter, and you can win up to £20,000 in prize money if you guess all 10 players correctly. So we've picked a list of 10 nations. You need to pick who you think will be the best player for each nation according to our scoring system, right? Simple. The 10 nations that we've selected are England, Wales, Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland, and then big hitters, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, Belgium, Portugal. Probably one of those will be the winner, won't they? There are also prizes for coming in the top 20, by the way. A pot of £10,000 will be shared between the top players across the world, and a few lucky winners on top of that will be receiving spot prizes for coming in a particular place on our leaderboard. So it might be that you come 273rd, but you end up getting a spot prize. We've got some really, really good spot prizes like Xboxes, PS4s, stuff to get really, really interested in. How do you enter? Very simple. Go to matchboss.com and pick the 10 players you think will be the best performers for our 10 selected countries at the Euros. And why don't you tell a couple of friends while you're at it? So we've heard about how to play Match Boss. Let's talk to Squawker Dave, who joins me now. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Nick.
How's it going?
Yeah, good, mate. You know, very excited for the Euros and obviously playing Match Boss.
Yeah, it's good. It's good fun. It's a good fun game. Actually, we're going to go through your picks, who you've picked as the best player from every nation. Let's start off with England. Obviously, with England, you know, the sort of the approach is going to be let's score more goals than the other side. They've named five strikers.
Yep.
Who are you thinking is going to be, you know, the top performing player according to, you know, our calculation method?
So I've gone with Jamie Vardy, but okay. Not really for the reason why you'd pick maybe the rest of your players. I think England are going to be, I don't know, a little bit rigid at the Euros. I feel like they're, you know, we saw against Portugal in the friendly that there wasn't much in that final third, and I feel that it's going to be impact from the bench, and that's why I think Jamie Vardy will come off the bench and, you know, sort of score goals from that position. We saw the impact that he had against Germany really changed the game when he came on. His pressing, his harrying, scored a great goal, and he could have had a few more as well. So I feel Jamie Vardy off the bench. I think that Hodgson might readjust his front line because it didn't quite work with Vardy, Rooney and Kane. Varuka, as it's known.
Varuka? Wow.
On some social media
Bazooka
sites.
Bazooka that Varuka.
Bazooka that Varuka. But I feel that was a bit of an issue. Rooney was too high up. He wasn't dropping back to make a four, obviously being at the tip of the diamond. So tactically, there was a lot of issues there with that, with the selections that Roy made. But I do feel Vardy off the bench. Other players that you could look at, Wayne Rooney, if he does play at the tip of the diamond, could be, you know, playing the ball, passing
Surely
the ball.
Surely not. It didn't work at all yesterday. I mean, he forced Jamie Vardy out wide. But by the way, Jamie Vardy, you know, made a very good point yesterday. It's just because you're quick doesn't mean you're a good winger. Rooney doesn't work in the tip.
I think that's more of the tactics. You look at Allegri's 4-4-2 diamond. It drops back into a flat four, which opens up space for the forwards on the counter-attack. The issue with the England setup was that the two forwards were having to track back on the fullbacks. And that was the issue, that they had to drop back. And that's not what... Playing two up top isn't for that. You play two up top to leave them up top to counter-attack. What? The issue with that was, you know, you've got Vardy, you've got Kane tracking back until to his own penalty area. It's an issue that Hodgson has to correct. What you should be doing is Rooney should be dropping next to Eric Dier. Dele Alli should be on one side. And then whoever's playing the other part of the diamond, you know, would be it. James Milner, Jordan Henderson, needs to be pushing out wide right. And they're the players that shut the fullbacks down, not the forwards. And inherently, that was the issue yesterday.
No matter which way you paint it, Jamie Vardy is a left field shout for Match Boss. He's not, yep. Probably not going to start every single game.
No.
You know, obviously that he has got that bench impact. Yep. He might work against tired legs. Why not Harry Kane? Surely Harry Kane. He's going to start every game.
I think
he can't stop scoring. He scores for England.
Yeah, but the last two friendlies, I've not been as convinced. I have, when Kane plays for Tottenham up front on his own, the link up with Dele Alli is what England are missing at the moment. And without that, you know, England could struggle in a way. Harry Kane could struggle, and that's what I kind of think. That's my thinking behind it, is that sometimes, with a game like Match Boss, it is quite unpredictable. Someone that's coming off the bench and scoring goals could, for a team that's not, you know, performing that well, could be your star man. And I think that's how you've got to look at it. Sometimes you've got to look outside the box.
Obviously, Match Boss rewards every aspect of a player's game. So, you know, focus on the passing, on, you know, how successful they are with their passing. Jack Wilshere came on yesterday and looked immediately very, very impressive. If people are thinking laterally, maybe he's going to get a start, maybe he's forced his way into Roy Hodgson's plan. Is that sort of a good left field shout to sort of mark yourself out from everyone else?
Yeah, I think that's sort of if you were going to go on your Iniestas or your Xavis in a way where you play...
Your Xavis, your Iniestas.
You're picking your dictating midfield, and that's something that Jack Wilshere could do. The only thing I think with Jack Wilshere is if he doesn't start, that's the only question marks that I've got. If Hodgson does go with the team that he played yesterday, you know, he did say it was his strongest side. Is Wilshere in there? I think Wilshere should be in there. He offers a little bit different... I would have loved to see Danny Drinkwater at this tournament, especially with Jamie Vardy. The link up with those two... this season has been brilliant. 4 assists coming from his own half, from Danny Drinkwater to Jamie Vardy to go on to score. I think that's something England could have used in the latter stages of the tournament without that now. Do we have someone that can hit those 30-yard balls? Potentially not. Rooney's are a little bit too... the curvature's
flat.
Not right. Not flat enough, I'd say.
Yeah.
Whereas the Drinkwater was a constant thing. Every time he picked up possession, N'Golo Kanté would recover, give it to Drinkwater, and bang, they go over the top. And that's what England could have done if they picked him. But unfortunately, they haven't, so... Jack Wilshere could be a good option and will score highly if he's played every single game.
You mentioned midfield dictators before. Spain have selected about 85 for their squad for the Euros. Are any of those your pick for Match Boss? Is there anyone you've thought, he's going to be the one?
I think it's got to be Andres Iniesta, really, hasn't it? He really dictates the play.
That's the least left field shout after picking Jamie Vardy for England. Okay, Iniesta, talk us through it.
Yeah, I just think he's going to be the man that's going to be dictating. He's, you know, how the Spanish midfielders have evolved from the days of Sergio Busquets, Xavi and Iniesta. Now, Busquets, maybe Koke, Iniesta, or Cesc Fabregas in there. I think Iniesta's still going to be the man that's going to be controlling things, especially in the final third.
Isn't there a worry about his ability to get goals? I mean, Barcelona scored 112 times in La Liga this season. He only managed one goal and two assists in 28 appearances. Is that a worry for his scoring?
I think the Spanish team's going to be quite interesting, where they will be a little bit like the World Cup, where it was a little bit boring watching them.
Mm-hmm.
They won the World Cup, obviously. No, that's not a critique at them, but they were a little bit like Louis van Gaal's Man United, where they had the ball for the sake of it in a way, and they weren't creating that many chances, weren't scoring that many goals. I feel it's going to be a little bit the same way there, where you've got players like Morata, you've got Nolito that's come in from Celta Vigo that's had a very, very good season and has looked very, very good in the friendlies. Mm-hmm. He could be the left field shout. If you want to go somewhere that someone that's potentially... not Iniesta, not Busquets, someone like that, and Nolito could be the man that's going to pop up with some goals, scored two braces in the last week or so for Spain, a pretty good finisher, scored some absolute bangers in La Liga this season, shots from outside the area, from like pretty difficult angles, flying into the top corner, so he could be your left field shout. Morata could be a good option if he gets scoring goals, but I do think that Spain are going to have the ball. 70% possession, 60% possession. I reckon between those two marks, which is crazy, and Iniesta's going to be dictating it. The most touches, he'll have to complete the most passes in the final third. And again, I feel that, you know, in a way, it's his tournament. He's already won the World Cup. He's already done all that. But Xavi was the sort of main man there, the main playmaker. In the last, the 2010 World Cup. In the last World Cup, Spain struggled a bit. They lacked that little bit of who's now the boss. I think Iniesta now will be that man, will be the guy in the final third they go to.
Another team that's obsessed with retaining the ball is Germany, and you know they're looking very, very strong. Their squad, you know, really boasts a lot of talent. They lost one of their friendlies, you know, quite unexpectedly. Who do you think is going to be their main man? And a lot of people talking about Mesut Ozil, but it's got to be Thomas Müller, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, Thomas Müller's got a fantastic record at international tournaments. Golden Boy in the World Cup, top scorer in the World Cup. He's got all the accolades, and he really sort of switches himself on at these tournaments. The only thing why I've probably not gone with Thomas Müller is because I feel Mario Gomez might come in and take the goal scoring burden. 28 goals in the Turkish Super Liga this season. Mm-hmm. Really exploded for Beşiktaş. Beşiktaş actually went on to win the league the first time in years and years and years. Obviously, Galatasaray and Fenerbahce do dominate that league, and it was Mario Gomez did actually lead them to that. Interestingly, you know, he was at Fiorentina the season before, couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo. He was awful. But then going to Turkey, playing some football again, and I feel that Lowe might choose him as the starting striker and push Müller out wide right, which potentially could harm Germany a little bit, because playing Thomas Müller in that position up front kind of gives that mystique for the rest of the forwards that play behind him, whether it's Götze, Ozil, Schürrle, obviously not Marco Reus, who unfortunately is injured for the tournament. Yeah. If Müller's coming deep, it's like that false nine type of thing. It's difficult to pick up. He's going everywhere, and it's
so
and these are the runners.
Are you picking Mario Gomez?
I'm not picking Mario Gomez.
You're not.
You see,
after all that about Mario Gomez,
Mario Gomez could be a good option. That's what I'm saying. He could be. He will be. I think he might be the goal scorer for Germany this tournament. But I'm going to go with Toni Kroos because he's got that caliber. Got that ability to. He's the conductor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Champions League final, Madrid were in control when he was on the pitch. Got taken off. They lost control. And I feel that he's going to play that role again. But you've got to look for set pieces as well. Obviously, assists are big scorers in this game.
He's got a good long shot as well.
A good long shot. You know, I think he got 4 assists from in the last World Cup. A number of those coming from corners. That's where you look at that sort of extra element. You know, if he's dictating the plays, having a cracking game with the ball at his feet, and then he's got an assist or, you know, like you said, a cracking long shot. Something that's not really been utilised at Real Madrid or not been really utilised since he was playing attacking midfield for Bayern Munich when they won the Champions League. Obviously, he got injured at the end of that season, but from distance he's a real threat, and that's the two factors. He's got the assists, got the goals in him, as well as being that dictator. So it's the full package for me with Toni Kroos. But like I said before, Mario Gomez could explode, Thomas Müller could explode, Mesut Ozil could get 50,000 assists like he has done in the Premier League this season. We just don't know.
Well, that's the great thing about this game, actually. It's totally different to Premier League fantasy. We're considering players like Toni Kroos that would never have a shout of being picked in any other fantasy format. Let's focus more on one of the home nations, and a nation which is actually getting touted quite a lot as potentially, you know, causing a few upsets. It's Wales, who basically have 3 players: Ashley Williams, Aaron Ramsey, and Gareth Bale. No, I'm being unfair.
What about Chris Gunter?
Who's your pick for Wales? Are we going dead obvious?
Yeah, I think we might have to here. I think Gareth Bale is going to be the man. We've seen Wales in qualification; they've done very well, not conceding goals. But going forward, Gareth Bale wise, he's the man.
He's phenomenal, isn't he?
He's the man. You know, you've got Aaron Ramsey, Bale playing behind a striker quite narrow, which suits Wales down to a T. And I just think Gareth Bale, you know, won the Champions League, was very good in that final. He's just in the mood. It looks like he's come back. You know, he's had his injury problems this season, but he's sort of exploded back onto the scene in a way
strong.
You could say the sort of semi-final, quarter-final, maybe he carried more than Ronaldo in a way. So I'm definitely going to go with Bale. I think tactically they're going to set up 3 at the back, 4 in midfield, 2 attacking midfielders off a single striker. And the striker is just going to work hard and going to open up space for Ramsey and Bale. You want to look against England. If England play a diamond against that, that's going to
be interesting.
A bit of a worry for England tactically, because you think the 2 strikers will be picked up by the 3 centre-backs. They've got an extra man there. The wing-backs are going to be up against our full-backs. You'd rather have a wing-back than a full-back, because you've also got the 3 as well if anything goes wrong. In central midfield, you know, they're 2 up against a 3. You've lost a little bit of control there. But then on that single pivot, you've got 2 playmakers. You've got Gareth Bale and Aaron Ramsey that potentially don't need to defend. They can just sit on the counter-attack. Mm. And for a team like England, that their build-up is so, so slow and so boring in the final third, Bale gets it, gives it Ramsey, plays it back to Bale, gone. Simon Church, bicycle kick, goal.
Simon Church, of course. Hal Robson canoe on the volley. you know, they're really a dangerous team. And Gareth Bale, obviously, he created a chance every 35 minutes for his Real Madrid teammates. Let's look at the Republic of Ireland, because, you know, they had quite a sort of steely qualification campaign. Roy Keane, the other day, after a particularly disappointing pre-Euro 2016 friendly performance, said that he wanted to kill them after the game. I don't know if he's actually going to follow through on the threat. I'm pretty sure he's not. But Ireland have an interesting team an interesting balance. The big question is have you gone for Glenn Whelan or not as your match boss pick for Ireland?
Yeah, you see, Glenn, I really thought about Glenn Whelan. I think he'll be the man that's going to control
You've
things.
You've never said that sentence before, have you?
No,
I really thought about Glenn Whelan.
But to be fair with Glenn Whelan this season, he's been good for Stoke. He's sort of shored things up in central midfield. He's kept the ball moving. But it's got to be one man, and that's Jonathan Walters.
John Walters.
John Walters is going to explode at the Euros.
He plays more of a midfield role almost for Ireland,
doesn't
he? Yeah,
I kind of think that he's going to be... He's the type of player that's difficult to pick up if he does play wide in midfield. You know, we've seen for Stoke how he has played there and he has scored goals. And I do feel that might be Ireland's better chance. Obviously, you've got Shane Long in there that had a brilliant end to the season. Scored 10 goals in 28 games this season, but a lot of those came at the end of the season, really hit some form. So he could be your man as well. But I just got a feeling with John Walters. He likes an international tournament.
You've got a feeling.
That's what you've got to do with this match, boss. You've got to go with feelings.
Yeah, there's a lot in the gut. Speaking of gut, what's your gut telling you about Northern Ireland? Let's round off the home nations. An unknown entity. It's very tempting to go for Will Griggs on fire. Your defence is terrified. Yeah. But who do you think? Is it the captain fantastic Steve Davis?
I think it's got to be Steve Davis. Again, played a little bit. He played centrally behind the striker, behind Shane Long, of course, the Republic of Ireland striker, for Southampton, and they really pushed for that Champions League spot come the end of the season. His shot accuracy in the Premier League this season 60%, which is pretty. It's up there with the likes of Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. So I feel like he's going to be a real threat from midfield. Really good in the transition, which is what Northern Ireland will be defending. Mm-hmm. Another player that you could look at, maybe Paddy McNair. He sits at the base of their midfield. So if you're looking at your ball player there, if you think Northern Ireland are not going to score many goals, if Will Griggs is not going to be on fire, if someone's put him out, then yeah, it could be Paddy McNair. But I do think Steve Davis, 31 years old, coming into sort of, you'd say, his peak of his central midfield days. Yeah, he's my man.
Let's talk a bit about probably one of the most difficult. I was looking at the list of teams to choose from. So obviously with Matchboss, you have to pick the one player from each nation that you think is going to play, you know, have the highest score at the tournament, according to our calculation, which takes into account passes, chances created, defensive actions, you know, all sorts of stuff. So it's much more representative of a player's on-ball actions. The one team that I could not pick for myself was Italy. Absolutely impossible to pick out who is going to be the star man because they're such a unit, especially at the back. I mean, do you agree with that? Do you think they're the hardest team to pick for out of the 10?
I think because Italy are in a bit of a transition of the sort of World Cup winning squad to now, where there needs to be a bit of a push. And obviously they've lost Verratti. Obviously, they've lost Verratti and they've lost Marchisio to injury. Two ball-playing players in there that would be racking up the points. And which leads you to think, how Italy are going to set up? We've seen them play a 3-4-3, a 3-5-2 under Conte. And the strikers, Edda, Pella, you know, very hot and cold this season, especially Edda. Started fantastically for Sampdoria, and I think they moved to Inter Milan. Then didn't really play, didn't really score any goals. Obviously, Icardi's leading the way for Inter Milan. Up front, so it's difficult in there. Who's going to control? Daniel De Rossi potentially could be a good man, but I think what I've gone for is the defensive stability of that back three. Barzagli and Chiellini. So yeah, Chiellini, Barzagli and Bonucci. But I think Bonucci is going to be my man because I think they'll all rack up a lot of defensive actions.
July.
This is Jason Bourne.
I know what you did.
Matt Damon returns to cinemas as Jason Bourne.
Why would it come back now?
It started again. A new program. It's even worse than before.
Tell me.
Bourne has to be put down.
It ends tonight.
Jason Bourne in cinemas now.
Your clearances, interceptions, tackles, blocks, all that type of stuff, which obviously gets scored in our system, which is good representation for defenders. But I feel with Bonucci, he's the player that steps out of that back three. He's the dictator. He's the one from the back that will come out with the ball and he'll be spreading it to the attacking players. We've seen this season how he's built a great relationship with Paul Pogba, with Marchisio before his injury, and with Dybala, are all players that you want to get the ball to. Bonucci's the man to step out, play that pass. And obviously he's got a goal in from set pieces. Italy may have to resort to that sort of thing, you know, playing a little bit deeper, then scoring from set pieces, getting the ball wide and getting crossed into the box. So Bonucci could be that man to get onto those. So that's why I've gone with Bonucci.
Speaking of that defensive core, I mean, Italy, you know, that Juventus sort of back four, Buffon, Barzagli, Chiellini, Bonucci, they, in the last 28 games of the Serie A season, they only conceded 10 goals and won 26 of those games. Another team which is deceptively good at the back and also deceptively boring to watch is Belgium. And they're one of our teams. They have a genuine chance. At the World Cup, there was maybe a bit of mismanagement going on with Mark Wilmot, and he seems to have done it again. He says he's going to break up the Alderweireld and Vertonghen centre back partnership. He's going to play one of them at fullback. Who do you think is going to stand out for them? It's obvious to say Eden Hazard, but maybe Moussa Dembele, maybe Kevin De Bruyne. I think so many star players.
I think that's a bit of an issue with why Belgium are a little bit boring. It's because they play four centre-backs at the back.
Mm.
And inherently, that means that you don't have width higher up the pitch.
Mm.
Someone like Jordan Lukaku, Romelu Lukaku's younger brother, mm-hmm. could be really interesting in this tournament. An attacking left-back who I reckon he'll be picked up. As soon as this tournament's over, he'll be picked up. I think that he might get played against the weaker sides. Well, I hope he does. Or Belgium, again, will be a little bit boring. They're a little bit boring at the World Cup. And with all the talent they had, you know, it was a bit of a letdown. Yeah, a bit of a letdown, a bit deflating in a way.
Yeah.
But like the attacking talent that they've got, you mentioned a few of them, Lukaku, even Origi maybe starting up top for them.
Mm.
But then you've got Eden Hazard and Kevin De Bruyne. So it's either, I think it's a flip of a coin between those two.
Hazard or De Bruyne for you?
That's what I'd say. You know, Hazard sort of was poor all season, didn't fancy it. And then sort of last two games where he's trying to gear for a move away from Stamford Bridge, scores two fantastic goals. The goal against Liverpool going down of one of the goals for the season. You know, sort of a Lionel Messi goal where he's picked the ball up, beaten three men, and then curled it into the far corner.
Mm.
So either you go with Hazard or you go with Kevin De Bruyne. I'm going to go with Kevin De Bruyne because I just feel that he came sort of, you know, started very, very well in the Premier League. Did a lot of his work at home for Manchester City at the Etihad. You know, got a lot of his assists and goals there. And then towards the last stages of the Champions League, you'd say Kevin De Bruyne was the only man there that could really the sort of difference maker in a way. And you saw that when Pellegrini put him out wide. That was so stupid in the Champions League. You want De Bruyne central because he can create. The good thing about De Bruyne is how he drifts. He's a drifter. He's not really a natural playmaker like a Mesut Özil or a Hazard that's constantly on the ball, but a player that drifts wide and then puts crosses into the box or shoots. He's very, very direct.
A quick note on Kevin De Bruyne. Only Özil and Payet made more key passes per 90 in the Premier League this season than Kevin De Bruyne. And on top of that, he's a lethal finisher. I mean, he can score from pretty much anywhere and he's got the set pieces. So that is not a bad shout at all. The last of your picks is going to be for Portugal, and you know it's almost like the elephant in the room a bit, but I think you've got a slightly different take on this potentially. I mean, obviously Ronaldo, Portugal, is that just a done deal? Is he going to be the main focus?
I think so, yeah, but then you've got to look at that he's got a little bit of injury problems at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone with Ronaldo because I think that he'll be the man for Portugal, but you saw at the World Cup that when he came to the World Cup with an injury as well and didn't really perform. So players that potentially might explode onto the scene, Rafa Silva, mm-hmm. the Braga central sort of attacking midfielder, scored over 10 goals this season for Braga. He's been linked with a move to Manchester United with Benfica. He could be a really interesting prospect there. Nani, of course, captaining Portugal against England, had a good season for Fenerbahce. Or maybe João Moutinho. You see, there's a number of players there because the fact of Ronaldo might not be fully fit that you should probably go maybe outside the box on this one.
Yeah, also with Ronaldo, you know, a lot of opposition teams are going to be looking at, right, we need to nullify Ronaldo. You know, they did that at World Cup 2014 when he was a little bit injured. Mm. And, you know, it might have the same effect again. We do actually have one more team, and I left it to last, and I've totally forgotten to mention them. It's the hosts, France, who have an absolutely stunning array of talent in their ranks. I mean, it is a shame that certain players such as Karim Benzema can't be there, but, you know, there's a lot of reasons behind that. We're not going to get into that, or else we're going to get sued for libel. who's your pick for match boss for France for this tournament?
So I'm going to go with Pogboom.
Pogboom?
Pogboom, yes.
You're calling him Pogboom now?
Pogboom, yeah.
For listeners, that's Paul Pogba, the Juventus midfielder who's been an absolute sensation and was named number one in Schalke's 23 under 23, actually. So you've gone for Paul Pogba?
Yeah. I think this season he's really grown. Got the number 10 shirt this year. Playing central midfield, but being the player in their midfield three, you've got one that sits the dictator, you've got one that's a box-to-box type shuttler midfielder that does a lot of work, and then Paul Pogba's like your playmaker now. And he's evolved. His relationship with Paulo Dybala is unbelievable. How they link up, if you watch Juventus at all, next season, just watch them and see how those two combine. getting into the box and whatever. It's so, so good. That outrageous touch against Chievo that was unbelievable. It was actually offside, or did he hit the bar or something happened, but the touch before that was unbelievable. You look at the assist for Giroud recently, the skill that he did, pulled the ball out, then the ball that he put in was David Beckham-esque, you'd say, and that is a massive compliment. What Paul Pogba's done this season is evolve his game further. We didn't think that could happen, but it's happened. You know, 12 assists in Serie A, that's his best season ever. 8 goals, which is equaling his best season ever in terms of just goals in Serie A. He shoots a lot. He's a threat from... He's going to be the hub for France, I think. They've got a very workmanlike midfield. I think with Lasse Diarra, who's now out of the tournament, which is really sad because he was brilliant for Marseille this year. I think N'Golo Kanté is going to come in there. We know what he can do. He tackles and intercepts for fun. Then you're going to have Matuidi, who just runs for fun. Then Paul Pogba, that does tricks for fun. It's a midfield that's got a lot of quality. A lot of fun in there. I think France are going to be a fun side to watch. With the likes of Anthony Martial, we've seen at Manchester United be brilliant. Antoine Griezmann, then Dimitri Payet.
And I'm surprised you're not considering Griezmann or Giroud. If you had to design an international striker, you'd go for Giroud or Griezmann with this sort of poaching ability.
With
surely.
That, I feel that they've got so many options in those positions that those players might not play 90 minutes every week, every week, every game.
Yeah.
Because you've got four pretty much, you know, just below that world class level.
Yeah.
Dimitri Payet, what's he done in the Premier League? Carried West Ham United. Antoine Griezmann, 32 goals in 55 games for Atletico Madrid with 7 assists. Anthony Martial, that's been Manchester United's go-to man. And then Kingsley Coman, that exploded in the Champions League, 5 assists in the Champions League this season, more than any other player. So that's why I think there's too much quality there, that I think there'll be a little bit of interchange there. But you never know. One man may grab that shirt and take it. I think that's the thing with France. One of those four players... you know, the supporting cast behind Giroud or Gignac, whichever one Deschamps decides to go with, could be their top scorer. But I think Pogba just has the... Because he's definitely going to be there, right? He's playing every single minute of this tournament. A little bit sad as well. Lacazette didn't get a shout, or Gramero. I think that's absolutely stupid. You know, they're two strikers with great variation. But yeah, it's Deschamps and he's picking the squad. But yeah, Pogba is my man for France.
I like your tactical reasoning there. That was very well explained. That was very enjoyable
to
listen to.
Thanks, Nick.
Well done. A lot of questions are going to be surrounding our scoring system, which is quite detailed and very, you know, a little bit sophisticated. If you want to find out exactly what that looks like, go to matchboss.com. We've got a full list. It's all explained. And you'll notice straight away that it's basically pretty much everything you've been crying out for in terms of fantasy scoring. We talk about everything. We talk about yellow cards, passes, chances created, shots. And just as sort of a proof of example, you know, Dave... who would have won Match Boss in World Cup 2014 was an answer, a question we were asking ourselves when we were developing Match Boss in the office. And I'll take you quickly through the list of teams. Argentina would have had Lionel Messi, would have been their top scorer. Brazil, Neymar. Chile, Alexis Sanchez. France, Karim Benzema. Germany, Toni Kroos, who Dave's identified as his Germany pick for Euro 2016. Italy, Andrea Pirlo. Netherlands, Robben. Spain, Iniesta. Portugal, Ronaldo. Switzerland, Shaqiri. England, Gary Cahill, and Belgium, Daniel van Buyten. So those are pretty much spot on in terms of what everyone thought were the top players at that tournament, Dave, wasn't it? So that's quite a good idea. Gives you a good idea of what sort of players people should be picking, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I think you're looking at players like Daniel van Buyten, who, like we mentioned before, Belgium were pretty boring in that tournament. And that's why a defender has scored very highly, because he's the one that's got Belgium as far as they have. It was the clean sheets that they were getting. It wasn't the goals that they were scoring. If you remember, the strikers was a big issue for Belgium. None of them were scoring.
Yeah,
Origi ended up up front. You know, at age of 18, up front alone at the World Cup is pretty crazy. But yeah, Gary Cahill as well for England. That's why I think with England might go a similar way to Gary Cahill being their best player.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going with Jamie Vardy, because I feel that's what it's going to be.
Yeah,
Roy Hodgson hasn't really evolved his tactics in the last 8 years. With England. So it's like just one of those.
Stop
things.
Stop being mean to Hodgson. He did a perfect 10. Perfect 10 in qualifying. All right, let's be mean to Hodgson. We're not going to do well. We're not going to do well. Actually, we spoke to an ex-England international centre-back who is our Euro 2016 columnist, Ledley King, about his Match Boss picks. He picked some pretty interesting players.
For England, I've gone for Harry Kane. I just think that he's a goal scorer. You know, I think any game that he goes into, he's always looking to score goals. He's a penalty taker. although he missed his last penalty. I've seen him work on his penalties, and I know he's a very good penalty taker. So I think there's plenty of goals in this tournament for him. For France, I've gone for Paul Pogba, you know, talented young player. I just feel that this is time, you know, to shine in this tournament. Obviously, a lot of pressure on him, you know, being the home nation. But I just feel that he's going to have a very good tournament. For Portugal, I've gone for Ronaldo. Again, yeah, what a player, goal scorer again. Always looking to score goals every game that he plays in. You know, always hitting shots, hitting the target very often. So you know, I think he's a sure bet. For Germany, I've gone for Müller. You know, again, someone who just scores goals. I think he's a record goal scorer at tournaments, and you know, I expect him to score goals again. I think Germany's group is one where they will score goals in, and I expect Müller to score a few. Spain, I've gone for Morata, a young player. Been very impressed by him. Again, I think, yeah, he's another goal scorer. You know, I think he's going to get plenty of opportunities to score. You know, with Spain and the way they play, you know, people like Iniesta, Fabregas, looking to set him up. You know, I think he'll be a good bet. I've gone for De Bruyne, actually, for Belgium. Yeah, again, top, great squad. So many players to pick from. You know, my other player I was going to go for was Dembele, who every time he takes to the pitch, you know, he's superb. But, you know, De Bruyne, having missed some football as well at Man City, I think that he should be in good shape, raring to go. You know, he's a playmaker and someone who can score goals, so I've gone for him. Ooh, for Italy, I've gone for Chiellini. I've always been impressed by him in tournaments. He's a defender who just plays with his heart on his sleeve. You know, you always see him making last-ditch tackles, and you know, he's very strong in the air. Can get a goal or two, so yeah, I think that he's a good, very good tournament player. So that's why I've gone for him. Republic of Ireland, I've gone for Coleman. So it's a tough one. I just feel that his energy, you know, up and down, he'll have to do a lot of defending, I feel. But also, he's someone who can get forward and maybe chip in with maybe an assist or so. So that's the reason I've gone for him. Everyone's gone for Bale for Wales. You know, for obvious reasons, really. You know, he's just their star man by a long way, you know. And you know, whenever he puts a Welsh shirt on, he seems to just turn into a superhero. So, you know, I think this tournament's going to be great for him. You know, he's a right age, his first tournament. I expect him to do very well. Yeah, for Northern Ireland, I've gone for McCauley. He's had a good season with West Brom. You know, he scored 3 goals in qualifiers. For a defender, that's very good, and you know, I think that he's going to have his work cut out defensively, so you know, expect him to be busy.
Ledley King, our Euro 2016 columnist, with his match boss picks. We're almost done, but what we're going to talk about a little bit is, Dave, we've talked about your picks for Euro 2016, which people are happy to agree or disagree with. We've talked about who the top players were in World Cup 2014. You've listened to Ledley's picks just then. What are your top tips for picking your sort of your match boss 10, the 10 players that you think are going to be the best performers for each of those nations?
So the first of my top tips, Nick, is that the scoring system means you need to consider everything from a player's game when deciding who you're picking. Just to drop a few little examples in here, the scoring system is, obviously, you've mentioned before, far more evolved than the traditional fantasy football game.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, you need to take into consideration whether you think your defenders are going to get clean sheets, whether your goalkeeper is going to get clean sheets, but also whether your defenders and goalkeepers are going to make any defensive errors.
Mm-hmm.
If they make a defensive error, bang, there's 10 points down the pan.
Bang.
So it's a consideration of the overall contribution of a player on a game of football, their influence of how they're affecting the game positively or negatively.
So with MatchBoss, nowhere to hide. You have to be consistent. You have to be a top performer. It's not just someone who gets a couple of lucky goals, is it?
No, I think that's the key to it.
All right,
no lucky goals.
What's your second tip?
Second tip coming in at number two. You've got to have a good understanding of the fixtures. To know what opponents might nullify a star. We mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo before.
Mm-hmm.
That Portugal are potentially a little bit one-sided with Ronaldo. Bale as well with Wales. If teams have got strategies and plans to maybe box those players in, mm-hmm. maybe pick them up with 2 to 3 players, or if they've got 2 on them, maybe a centre midfielder's going to go over there, that's not going to score you points. If they're having a poor game, they're getting, you know, they're not winning their tackles, they're not completing their passes, then that's mm-hmm. an issue. So you've got to think about, okay, so England are playing Wales. Like I mentioned before, I feel Wales will have the sort of the big one over England in a way, with Bale and Ramsey in the hole, and the sort of in the hole with the defensive midfield. I spoke about that before. But against, like, for example, Russia, they might have a strategy. So, all right, we're containing Gareth Bale. Mm-hmm. That's all they've got. We're going to sit Zagaev and Denisov so deep, so that they can't get in behind us. You know, this is the things that you need to consider. You kind of need to weigh up who you think is going to win the game, who's going to influence the game. It's a big thing. It's okay. A big cheese.
Okay, the big cheese. Fantastic. And your third top tip, what would that be?
I think you've got to know the bench, Nick. Some players might have a great impact off the bench, and obviously work their way into the team, then be in the team for the rest of the tournament. Mm. There are two players that have one of my picks, Jamie Vardy.
Of course, yeah.
And then Nolito, the Spain winger.
Yeah.
He may even start. But you've got to know that some players might... We always have, every single international tournament, we always have stars that emerge. So I think that's the good thing with benches. That's where they might come from.
Okay, fantastic. So to sum up Dave's top tips, understand the scoring system in depth. It's available on matchboss.com. Get a good understanding of the fixtures and what opponents might do to nullify a star player. And finally, know the bench. There might be a hidden gem on the bench. A quick reminder, the matchboss.com top prize is £20,000. If you pick all 10 players correctly, head over to matchboss.com, pick who you think will be the top player for every nation, and we'll see you again very, very soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
This July.
This is Jason Bourne.
I know what you did.
Matt Damon returns to cinemas as Jason Bourne.
Why would he come back now?
It started again. A new program. It's even worse than before.
Tell me.
Bourne has to be put down.
It ends tonight.
Jason Bourne in cinemas now.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Terms and conditions apply. Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.